What's up, everyone? I'm Pedro, and this is Season 2 of World Walkers Cog.
So, welcome to the first episode of World Walkers Cog Season 2. My name is Pedro, the GM and creator of the World Walkers universe. With me is Callie.
Hi, I'm Callie.
And with me also is Nathan.
Hello.
And we actually are very lucky to have Shannon as well.
Insert cricket noise.
Eventually. Because you can't someday. Make it to the session. Now, thanks everyone for following us along the journey. If you're new here, then you don't have to go back to season one. I mean, you totally should. But you don't have to get season two, because season two is an entirely new group of people. So before we started World Walkers Cog, we were already playing together in another group, and that group was called the Furious Funks, a band of people that kind of took no shit, took the jobs they wanted, did what they had to do, and what they wanted to do.
Made that money.
And they had a lot of good adventures, but one of the things that was really fun about that group was that we just jumped in. We didn't write a convoluted story. The group was already kind of established, and everyone made these really silly, colorful characters, and we just kind of went with it. They all had, like, whenever we introduced a story element, it was always like, ah, yes, your eternal rivals, or ah, yes, you know this person from before. And that made things really fun and interesting, and, I mean, obviously a little easier, because I could just write whatever I wanted. But we've never explored their origins, and so the idea came up to do the origin of the Furious Funks, and so that's what we're going to do. This story takes place 3 years before the events of World Walkers Cog, and we have dubbed this campaign the Pre-Funk Era. So, let's begin. One last thing that I should probably note before we get started. We originally started this game in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, which works out really well because that's what we do in World Walkers. However, the Furious Funks, they started in Savage Worlds. And after a lot of talking, discussing, we felt the best move was to put this game back in its roots. So, we're playing the entire World Walkers Cog Season 2 storyline through Savage Worlds, but this episode was recorded in Pathfinder. So, to make sure everything flows smoothly, to make sure that everything makes sense for those coming in from Savage Worlds, all I did was, in this episode, I cut the mechanics out. So as you listen, you'll hear everything that we, you know, would normally put in an episode, but I took some of the mechanic stuff out so that it's going to flow smoothly between episodes 1 and 2. So just wanted to make that side note real quick. Sit back and enjoy. All right. So what is your character's name?
Fuego.
Fuego? Oh, man.
Because he spits hot fire.
Fuego, you have traveled to the city of Egolium, the city of lights. It is a bit, it's luckily it's nowhere near Cosnic, which seems to be a place no one wants to hang out lately.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you guys always complain if I put you in Cosnic.
Yeah, fuck Cosnic. The place is a problem all the time.
We're going to start there, and then it's just going to be the end of the fucking campaign already.
We would probably fit in very well in the lower city with this team.
Probably.
So, you find yourself in Egolium. You traveled here for whatever reasons you decide in your heart. And right now, you're in one of the biggest taverns, one of the biggest bars in the city. It's called No Regrets. And this is a place that gets crazy. Like, when they hit their happy hour, everyone gets a free shot, and everyone throws their cares away, and then it gets even crazier here. For whatever reason, you've come pre-happy hour. Maybe it's because you're trying to keep a low profile. Maybe it's because you just got here at the wrong time. But for whatever reason, it's pretty quiet in here. The three people that have you surrounded, what are they looking at?
Well, you know, Fuego's a goblin. He's got greenish skin. short, hairless. He's dressed rather nice, big baggy pants, a padded vest, sort of a wicked-looking blade on his side. And when he smiles, which he does quite often, you see that he has a mouth full of very sharp metal teeth.
Metal teeth. Legit.
And so there are three just absolutely brutish kind of... One of them is especially drunk. The other two, they found their way here. They may not find their way homes, but they found their way here. Each one of them seems to have some sort of weapon on their side, whether it be a dagger, some kind of sword, maybe a bludgeoning tool. And tavern is pretty empty. The bartender has stepped away. And the first one to speak, he is rather brutish. He has a short, no-neck kind of head, wide shoulders. He's got his shirt open, as if that means something.
Okay.
And he says, so what brings you around?
You know, just passing through, you know?
How long are you going to be here for?
The evening?
And they look at each other. And then the other one, he's a little bit shorter, still just as stocky, just less height. And he's bald with a really thick beard that seems to wrap around him as if like a boomerang is still swiveling. And he says, why do you got to be in this bar? What brings you to this bar? What are you going to bring your kind here?
Hey, yo, I was told that this was a good place to come for entertainment.
It is. But not for you.
I'm the entertainment.
And they kind of look at each other. What do you mean?
Allow me. Keeps one hand up above the table. Reaches down into his bag and pulls out a drum.
They're staring.
Entertainment.
Play us something.
All right. So he starts playing the drums.
Come on.
All right. What's the style of your music?
Right now, it's just like a funky beat. He has one drumstick and his fist. And so he kind of uses the drumstick on the edge of the drum for the higher pitch sound and his fist to actually bang out the bass beat.
So you watch as you play and two of them are just kind of bobbing their heads, shoulders getting into it, and they seem to be really digging what you're putting down. And then the one that originally spoke, no neck, he's like, and the other two snap out of it. And he's like, we don't like when people like you show up. When you show up, you bring trouble. Your master comes in. In fact, where is your master?
I don't know, man. I ain't seen him in months.
Don't lie to me. And he kind of gets in a little closer. We know the score. You all have masters.
I swear. I escape. You see these teeth? You see these teeth? And he smiles, and the light glints off of the metal. This is why I left. He pulled the old ones out.
Oof. Or you're his weapon. You're his attack dog.
That may be what he wanted, but that's not what he got.
One of them kind of shoves you against the wall. You need to get out of here right now.
I'm going
to
bite him.
All right, let's go.
Let's fucking get it.
Whoever put his hands on me is going to lose a finger.
Yeah, so suddenly you just kind of like leap forward. This huge clash of metal as your teeth find each other again. And you can hear him scream, fall back, trip over a table, crack his head, and he's out.
Hop up on the table. Yeah, bitch, what?
Sorry. Sorry. I was excited.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bitch, what? Who wants it next?
And they look at each other and they're like, oh, fuck that. Like, you hear this commotion. Now, there's almost nobody in the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of them were to look behind them, sitting with their back against the wall, who would they see?
A human woman. She's very tall and, like, got kind of like a stocky build. She's probably like 6'3", you know, broad shouldered and somewhat nondescript clothing, like just like a t tealish green button-up shirt tucked into her like leather pants and boots and like a long leather jacket and just kind of a hat slightly covering just like part of her face. And she's got like a long bow at her side. She's got long dark red hair just kind of pulled into a braid loosely. And there's like really darker blue eyes and skin that's like real tan. She's definitely spent a lot of time like outside.
And so you see this ruckus, and then you see this drummer just do something that sends one of them flying back, fall over, start bleeding all over the place. But he's obviously outnumbered.
Like taking my shot of whatever I'm drinking and then just set it down and pull out my longbow, and I just want to shoot not at them but like directly between all of them, like maybe right on the table between them to get their attention.
You hear this arrow fly out and then thunk into the wood, and everyone turns to look.
Yo.
Alright, boys, I think that's enough. Settle down.
I forgot you had a list.
Tensions.
Never been higher.
Forgot. Totally forgot. It's like, why is she talking like
about to snipe someone's ass?
The Mike Tyson of Cog.
I'm thinking, oh god, I was thinking of like the friggin', what's that one Key and Peele skit when they're like, we about to eat some terries up on the street.
All right, so yeah, they turn and look, and then what do you do?
I'm not putting the sword away, but I'm waiting to see what happens. If one of those guys comes at me, I'm cutting them.
So if I see them like completely ignoring me, then I'm like, all right, I warned you.
You had fired an arrow into the table. The moment someone even gave like the slightest hint they were going to move, arrow right into their chest. They've fallen. They look like they're dead.
Yeah, you didn't know she was with me, did you?
Just point at the next one.
Just thinking your for call. Half a second.
Do it. Do it, fucker.
He basically runs for it. He clears past the tables and the chairs in the way. He ducks and leaps over one chair at one point, and he finds himself right in your face. And it's a new round. Fuego.
I guess I'm gonna run towards him, and then I don't think I can do the whistle, but I'm gonna do like a weird warbly whistle, kind of what you would expect to hear from maybe a science fiction movie or a cartoon when that's the one. And with that noise, I fling a cup from a nearby table at her attacker.
All right, yeah, so you run all the way across the tavern. You almost closed rank with the ensuing melee that's happening. And then you grab a cup and you throw it against the wall.
Telekinetic projectile.
They're not sure if you just got mad or what's going on. But it is now Thally May's turn.
So for now, yeah, she said I'll just switch to my dagger.
She quickly, like latches her bow into place as she's already got her dagger drawn, and then runs the dagger. You can feel, like, that slight bit of resistance, and then the dagger just goes plunging into his body, and you can feel the warmth escaping him as he suddenly plunges over. Plunges over dead in your arms.
So is the room empty now?
Nope.
Oh, there's more people?
There is one more person in here, and they're sitting off in a table, kind of off by themselves. They just watch the whole thing. They have a nice kind of a tweed suit. They have a small little tie, and they seem to be a round kind of ball of a man, white hair, half spectacles, rosy cheeks, and they've got a shot that they finish off after you're done.
Yeah, you don't want none, do you?
Kind of stares.
All right, down, boy.
Smile.
And he looks off and he goes, you two know each other?
Yeah.
Well, and he kind of shrugs his shoulders and eyebrows kind of go up. And He says, I gotta admit, I'm impressed. I didn't know what was going to happen in here, but you two kind of know what you're doing, huh?
Know my way around a few things.
What brings you around here?
Looking for work.
Passing through.
So you don't know each other?
I mean, I'm looking for work.
What's your names?
Sally Mae. Tip my hat a little bit.
They call me Fuego.
Well, he kind of shrugs again and he lays a gold piece down on the table and he goes, y'all want to go somewhere a little more private and maybe discuss an opportunity?
Kind of like roll the guy away from me. Like, yeah, let's find some better digs.
I'm going to walk back to my table to collect my stuff that I left sitting. Are both of the guys dead?
Yeah. Yeah, you all executed them all.
I'm going to kick them both when I walk past them. And the guy who, the one who pushed me, I'm going to take his purse. I did not take it from the guy who got shot. I only took it from the guy that I took out.
Okay.
That's what you owe me, bitch.
With that, you all kind of walk back out into the, what they call the City of Lights. Egolium is a grand, beautiful city that is known, amongst other things, for its large kind of fireless torches that line the streets. Depending on how far away you are from this city, you might not know what else to call them. But they're lamps that basically trace along the inner parts of the city mostly. The farther you get, the less likely you're going to have access to this kind of stuff. But they bring a light at night to the entire city, kind of giving it this beautiful hue. It's something that the other cities do not have. But it's daylight, so lanterns aren't necessarily firing up right now. And as you walk, he says, I have an office somewhere around here, and we'll go on in there and get ourselves a little privacy and maybe talk a little business.
An office? What is it? If it's not too private for out here to talk about.
No. I have a law office. I practice law. I'm getting pretty good at it, he says as he kind of smiles.
Starts, right. Fuego starts kind of backstepping.
Oh, backstepping.
Yeah.
I thought you said backstabbing.
Like, and then first I was like, oh, okay.
Do they have like a court system that we know about? Is he a lawyer or a judge?
So this is just north of Dormineer. And so it doesn't use Dormineer's more aggravating legal system where people have a right to be heard in Dormineer, but they don't have a lot of the normal innocent first kind of rules. You have to prove that you didn't do it down in Dormineer, the large kingdom to the south that was involved in what's known as the Mages War, something that nearly tore apart the continent that you live on right now. Egolium is kind of its own city-state. It exists up north, and they do have a legal system here where essentially two people get to face off against each other, and then there are seven people, essentially the jury, that hear the case and they decide. There's not really a judge. That's handled by the two different lawyers, one for each side, and they're the ones that are trying to constantly convince the jury of what's going on. So that's kind of all he says, unless you keep pressing him for information. But
just at one point, you got our names. What's yours,
Mr. Wasar?
Wasar.
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 Yeah, almost. Yeah. But you continue walking, and it's a little bit away. But eventually, you find yourself in front of a quaint little two-story building. There is a nice gold plate on the door that says Wasar or Wesser, depending on how you read it, and Wessel.
So Wesser and Wessel?
Wasar. You know, I mean, steps up to the name, takes a second, pulls out his pocket watch, takes a look at it, slips it back in, chain secure. A pocket watch is something that obviously exists on the steam-powered world of Cog, but they're not cheap.
Yeah.
So he must be doing all right for himself. And opens up the door. And there's a desk that should have someone behind it, probably. He just kind of sighs. There's a door to the side. And you walk right past the nice, smooth, comfortable couch. And he pushes that in. It's a little hallway. And there's two ways you can go. He takes one route. And then he opens it up to a nice, kind of a cozy little room. There's a couple bookcases. There's a beautiful smooth rug underneath your feet. And there's also a large golden book. It's more of a statue than anything else. And then his desk and two chairs. His desk has a rather large leather-bound chair that can actually swivel. It can't roll, but it can swivel. And he takes his time to get in his chair.
Take a seat.
Jump over the back.
He's going to raise his eyebrow. All right. Now, I'm really curious. I know your names, but I don't feel like I know you. What's something you can tell yourselves about me?
I look at Fuego first.
I like music. I'm a musician.
Anything I heard before?
Just what you heard in the tavern.
All right, and
just a small-time woman coming to the big leagues trying to make some money.
All right. Well, then let me lay something down, see if you want to pick it up. Are you like a bounty hunter?
I've taken a few bounties.
Yeah, that's what she is.
Gets eyes dart back and forth. So you all done jobs together?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. You can just say what you want to say to me. You don't have to.
I did.
I don't think you're in trouble here, hon.
No.
We're together. Her name's
Sally Mae.
Sally Mae.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, all right. Let those biscuits sizzle. Cool down.
I think this seems to be a new kind of friendship.
Oh, that's sweet. So, let me tell you a bit about myself. Mm-hmm. My name is Mr. Basara. And I'm a lawyer around these parts. I try to take whatever cases I can to do a little bit of good back into the city. Doesn't always work, you know. But I tell you what, I have just kind of come into a situation I'd like to have your all's help with.
Go on.
Well, here's the deal. 3 jobs. 250 gold each.
I'm listening.
These jobs are a little bit sensitive. The jobs that I've come across, the jobs are no questions asked. I don't even know if I know everything I need to know about the jobs. To be honest, I think the jobs are something of an interview. After 3 jobs, you're hired.
Alright.
These 3 jobs are going to pay for all kinds of travel expenses and living accommodations. I give you the details of 1 job. You go do the job. Now here's the thing. If you're satisfied with everything, you get the 2nd job. If you don't like anything about it, if you're not happy with the arrangement, you take your 250 gold, you walk away.
All right.
How's that wet, you whistle?
I might be interested.
But, as I understand it, one of the most important parts is no questions asked. Short of, like, logistics and things know.
But necessary.
You do what you gotta do.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
Dangerous, huh?
I know the 1st job, and it's going to take some skill. No question about that. But I don't know if it's more dangerous than anything else you've done, because, I mean, frankly, I don't know what else you've done. Can you give me something that you've done before this?
I escaped from the Echo Forests.
Oh, all right.
I've been on the run ever since.
So, now I hear out there, y'all are kind of, locked down.
That's why it was dangerous.
Bugbears, I understand. They've gone ahead and kind of taken the run of that forest out there all the way to the west.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean that you got someone coming to look for you then?
Maybe.
It doesn't bother me. You take care of yourself, but... That is...
I don't think he can find me, and I don't know if he cares.
Okay.
He got an awfully nasty bite on his ass when I left. Damn near took the cheek off.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I mean, I saw what you all are capable of. I'm fine with it. What do y'all think? Any questions before the no questions?
I mean, what's the job? How long we got?
Fair enough. The job is you need to head out here. Travel expenses paid. Don't worry about that. And there's someone that just needs to be taken out.
All right.
They're hiding amongst a group of people. Makes it a little hard to confront them, so it's up to you how you want to do it.
Here in Egolium?
It is not, no.
Where?
Elviral.
So this is more of an assassination type job, sounds like.
If you want to go that far, sure.
Well, who is this sucker?
That's what we get into once we know you're taking the job.
I mean,
wouldn't be the first person I killed this week.
I think I'm interested.
All right. And like I said, if it doesn't work out, you don't like the job, you don't like the pay, no harm, no foul. But if you do like it, it's two more jobs.
And you, I mean, you don't have to answer this, obviously, but you don't have an idea of the employer too much.
I'll explain more as we continue to develop some sort of relationship, but jobs came across my way. Said I would use some connections, and I walked away. I didn't have any connections. I didn't know what I was going to do until y'all came into that bar and made an impression.
Fair. But sounds like they might have some interesting connections if they got that kind of gold.
I'm hoping. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm never going to lie to y'all. I'm really hoping this becomes, you know, evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in?
Yeah.
All right, great. And so he pulls a drawer open his desk, pulls out the contracts. Slides him away. Read at your leisure.
I will read it.
Sally, you're pouring through the documents. Takes a little bit of time to get through everything. But essentially, what it says is that failure to complete the mission means basically having to be brought before the court for damages.
Okay.
Damages can be specified at the leisure of the person issuing the quest, as it were. Basically, this gentleman gets to dictate how much damages he suffered.
Well, now, what's this about? You determine how much damage is what?
I can't properly assess until I've seen the damages.
So you're going to screw us when we get this right?
No. What? And that's not what the contract says. The contract says if you fail to do the job.
Well, now, I didn't say nothing about screwing us.
He's not going down for it.
Right. I understand damages, but I feel like there should be a little bit more of a assessment ahead of time so we know.
I mean, realistically, if we fail, we're never going to see you again, so.
How are you feeling about this?
Is there a pen on his desk?
Mm-hmm.
I'm draw a little flame on my line to sign.
And you looked over the contract as well. It didn't make any kind of sense.
I mean, I speak common, so I understand the words, but whatever.
All right. I'll sign it.
All right. Well, very well. Let me go ahead and put in a request for an airship, and they'll take you right to your city. I got a few more people that I'm hoping I can put in contact with y'all. So we'll see what happens, but it may just end up being you too. Once you get to the airship, let's call it 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, I'm going to try and get, you ever hear of, I think it's called the Dragon's Head? It's Dragon something. Yeah. Look for the one that looks like a goddamn fucking dragon. That's your airship.
All right.
All right. Shake on it?
Shake.
All right, well then.
What kind of limp shake is that?
I'm sorry?
What kind of limp shake was that?
I got problems.
Right. Didn't have a problem holding the pen.
He looks down and says, I didn't sign it.
Didn't have a problem pulling the bag of money out.
I mean, I don't know what you want from me.
We'll see you at 3 o'clock.
Great, great.
You know, as we're walking out, you know, on the plus side, if we do fuck this up, we can always kill him, and then he can't sue us for nothing.
I mean, that is, I suppose, it's an alternative.
Only, it's the only option.
Oh, what the hell am I getting into?
Murder. You know, he was able to use his hands to drink. He picked up that heavy-ass bag of gold, but he couldn't shake on it like a man.
Don't worry about it. Just worry about the money you're taking from him later.
I'm gonna eat that hand.
And that wraps it up for episode 1 of season 2 of World Walkers Cog. None of this would be possible without the support of our patrons, so thank you all so much. When I started doing this, I didn't realize that World Walkers would turn into spinoffs and things like that. So the idea that we have a whole nother podcast just because people liked the steam-powered world of Cog is just crazy to me. So keep listening. It's going to be very, very interesting from here on out. We have Shannon in our next episode and a new NPC, which I'm really excited to debut. I've been showing off some art from that character a little bit recently on Twitter and such. So you might have seen the character and not even known it. So that's really exciting for me. Now, the new season of World Walkers, Season 5, is also coming out the same time. If you're listening to this episode, you've probably got access to World Walkers Season 5 as well. So check that out as well, especially if you like this podcast. If you like World Walkers Cog, you should definitely be checking out Season 5 of World Walkers, because by pure happenstance, the group is currently on Cog. So, in fact, here's a clip from World Walkers Season 5 right now.
He says, "I'll give you a half hour." He pockets the gold.
A half? What? We're on a timer?
And he leans forward and he says, "If you're going to keep playing games, you're going to have to be a lot better at this than that." He's staring at Tristana.
"I am not playing games this time. I could. I think I have a deck of cards here somewhere." Start patting
what
myself down.
"What game do you think we're playing, sir?"
"She shows up here in Cosgrove, coincidentally. Her?
Oh, I'm a gnome.
Have you been here before? Have you been here before?" Looking at Tristana. "Why is he so... did you get kicked out of here? Did you break all the glass?"
"I didn't... Look, the glass isn't broken!
I didn't mean this time."
"Then give me a perception check, Tristana. Or anyone that's looking at him now after he says that."
That's a 23.
"That's a 14.
I got a 12.
He is rigid. He's not cool and just looking at you all.
Is he afraid? Or...
You don't know past that. You just see that he is... he might be shaking actually a little, like vibrating, but he is as flat as he can be.
"So you're saying you'll give us a half hour before what? You call the constable?"
"Why are you mad at me?"
He doesn't look mad. He's trying to hold in whatever he's got below the surface. He's locked it away.
Why are you acting this way? I never did anything to
and
you.
And then, Harold, if you want, you could roll.
I was gonna ask, yeah.
I mean, almost anything.
I have goblin lore or nature.
Nature would probably work since you're from.
Wait, I have society.
Society is what you want to roll. Yeah. What's your bonus?
Society makes
7.
The most.
7. Okay, yeah. So.
You gonna roll?
I already rolled it.
Okay.
You almost can't think of the last time ever that you've ever heard of gnomes being a thing? Do you have a history lore?
I have goblin lore.
Okay.
But not any history.
What's your bonus?
7 as well.
7? All right, cool. You heard that there used to be gnomes, and now there aren't. But that was a long time ago. That was doubles and doubles and doubles of goblin years.
At least 60 years ago. Goblins only live to 30. We're not a long-standing species. that's right.
You can see his breathing. He's trying to keep breathing under controlled circumstances, too.
Thanks again to the musicians who share their music online, and also thanks to Sirenscape for making their assets available as well. You can find them at sirenscape.com.
I don't know who'd be looking at my point curse. My point curse. My coin purse.
Nobody's looking at your coin purse, you pervert.
My point curse. Not that I have a lot to take at this point.
Crazy.
From your point curse?
It's already been taken.
Well, there it is, folks.
All done.
I made a character in World of Warcraft for my friend, for Enzo, and we jumped in. He's like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "My name's Wimbledon." And he's like, "Your name's Wimbledon? Why?" And I was like, "Because I serve it up." And then I found out we're not on a player versus player server.
Oh, I stopped playing. I've been on the run. Like, my master is still very much alive, obviously. Yeah. He won't die until sometime in season one.
It's Alec.
It is.
Don't worry. You don't have to listen to season one to follow us on this.
Sorry.
Episode 3, perhaps. Around a 32-minute mark. I don't know if that's right. Don't check me.
Hop up on the table. Yeah, bitch, what?
Oh, Jesus. Say that again.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Hop up on the table. Yeah, bitch, what?
Shut up.
That's better.
Hiccups. I was trying. I saw my shot.
You were gonna.
I had a whole mouthful, man. Oh my god!
I was like, "Wait, can I get it?"
God, I almost had to like spit that back into my bottle.
I saw. I was like,
"Damn it!" Oh god, I think I got like a little acid reflux there. Uh-oh. I like this cannon now that Alec has like a big chunk of his ass missing.
Not one to sit down on a job. Alec will always take care of what has to be done, especially himself.
What has to be done.
Yeah. Well, hey there. Good night. My name's Jimmy Dean.
The Sausage King.
The Sausage King. Adios.
I think.
I know you're saying hola.
There's a note
that
says high five.
Okay.
Where's the
chase
that
we
eat a Spanish word?
Yeah, it's a Spanish word.
What? My favorite Spanish word. Sacapuntas.
Oh my god.
It's my favorite Spanish word. Pencil sharpener. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
It's just so fun. Sacapuntas.
It's just the way you say it. It sounds like you're saying something else.
Sounds I know. Dirty as hell.
It sounds dirty, but it's...
Good night, Willow.
My favorite Spanish word is enchirito.
And get yourself a quesadilla.
Get yourself a dang quesadilla.
My kids do that sometimes. We're like, oh, let's go get food. And they're like, oh, can we go get quesadillas? I'm like, fuck you. No, you can't now.
You can get no quesadilla.
You can say it the right way or you can fucking starve.
A jalapeno.
Jalapeno is what we say.
Dad, nachos aren't Spanish.
My grandpa like legitimately pronounces it nacho and thinks that's correct. It also says lava.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
Instead of what?
Lava. I hate it.
How often does lava come up in your conversations?
There's a whole
There's
a brand of soap.
Oh, yeah.
I used to know a woman who washed her clothes but would go to Washington.
My grandma, yeah. she says wash.
My grandma.
There's no fucking consistency
there. I tease her about it. Get a wash rag.
She would sit and watch her cat. Like the cats would groom each other and be, oh, washy, washy.
My grandma did that, yeah.
It's so funny. I know. She'll just be like.
But it's because they didn't learn. You put an R next to right before SH. They just learned this is how you say wash.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you say Washington.
It's like that.
You ever wash your clothes?
No, my grandpa does. Jess, what are you crinkling?
It's the knuckles of an old arthritic man.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was making sure it wasn't the cat. Like,
she was opening the cat.
I didn't know if the cat was in there playing with something.